Well, here we are again, back again for this second part, for this very special time with our dear brothers in Christ, Pastor Dr. David Kinlow and Elder Adrian. And so there's no reason for me to talk anymore. Let's go ahead and get back into this. Worldview, first of all, like we need to look at this as Christians from a Christian world, from the Word of God, from Scripture, right? And then, Dr. Kinlow, you said politics obviously has come into play in this whole thing. And agendas, so with that said, I mean, I think you've kind of already spoken to it, but just the phrase Black Lives Matter versus the Black Lives Movement. And just if you guys can speak to that.
Well, there's a difference between the mantra and the organization.
Well, I want to be very, very clear and very specific on that. First thing I'm going to say is you probably won't hear many African-Americans say what I'm about to say. Specifically what I'm about to say about Black Lives Matter. But I am compelled to always stand upon the biblical position without compromise, no matter the circumstance or who is involved. Having said that, Black Lives Matter is supposed to be a global network which seeks to build a power base that brings justice, healing, and freedom to Black people. This is the common understanding of what most believe when they hear that phrase, Black Lives Matter. So that's what most people think it is. Now, first and foremost, as a Christian, I do believe in justice. I do believe in healing within a community. Of course, I believe in freedom for Black people. But I'm going to say this, as a Christian, I really do hope and pray that for all people. Now, as far as them building a power base, I get fearful when I hear godless organizations start talking about building a power base that is not restrained by the grace of God, because it always corrupts. And if you get absolute power severed from the grace of God, it corrupts absolutely. And so I agree with the general thesis out there that because Black lives do matter. But to be honest, the ultimate goal of the Black Lives Matter organization, which started and is leading the Black Lives Movement, is really not about what most believe it to be all about. I'm just going to be honest. And you go to their website, they do have that one of their goals is the importance of the lives of people of color. And this is evidenced by a statement, I got this from their website. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or location. And I do believe that is covered by, one of the commandments, Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. I also believe all in those groups I just mentioned, they have the right to the pursuit of liberty. They have the right to liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, that's the Declaration of Independence. So I believe that about all persons. So don't have a problem with that. However, the true agenda of Black Lives Matter, it is the furtherance of the LGBTQ, and I have to write it down because I get confused. Black Lives is really about the furtherance of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer agenda. It is about the destruction of the marriage and the family as it is prescribed by the scriptures. You know, Genesis chapter 2, 22, 24, God made man, made woman from a rib, brings her to the man, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, taken out of man, she shall be called woman, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. I do think ultimately it's to destroy that. And I say that because of what I'm pulling directly from the Black Lives Matter website. And people need to know this, especially African-American Christians who say we believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. But I pulled this from there, and this is what it says. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. They go on to say, we are self-reflexive. And that means a conscious turning of oneself towards oneself. Bible calls it selfishness. We are self-reflexive and do the work to dismantle cisgender privilege. Cisgender means the birth ascribed you at your birth. Your gender that you have by birth, you know, anatomy. So they, you know, they're trying to dismantle that and uplift trans folks, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. And that simply means antagonistic violence is you can't say it's wrong. They go on to say we further disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. That's a problem. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirements by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. It's amazing fathers are absent from that statement. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual, unless he or she disclose otherwise. That's the true agenda. And the bad thing is, you know, when people think it's one thing, but it's really another. You know, when they start talking about the collective, that's Marxism. And so, you know, I know most people think Black Lives Matter is about saving the lives of black people, but from what I read from their website, they are not. And so I support the thesis, Black Lives Matter. Amen. But as first and foremost a pastor, you know, I denounce the organization because of the agenda behind what we're seeing out here. And so you're probably not going to get that from many.
Well, I mean, just through what you read there, I mean, you have the breakdown of the family.
Yes.
Right. You have Romans 1 even, right? Exchanging the natural for the unnatural.
Yes.
You then have Romans 13, you know, with just disregarding authority.
Yes.
And so you walk through that and then you see just the breakdown happening.
Yes. And so my question is, what good can come of that? I mean, we're the world is trying to resolve this matter. I mean, through everything that is anti-God, anti-scriptural, and just nothing good is going to become of it. But, you know, I've taken a lot of flack in my own community for saying these things, and I'm to the point now, man, I'm 61.
And you know what's interesting?
I just, you know, I want to be as loving and tactful as possible, but black Christians and white Christians need to know the true agenda. And so that's my opinion of the Black Lives Matter organization.
I just want to say, and what's interesting is we study the three women that are involved in it, all of them.
It was a two or three?
It's three women total. Okay. But two of them expressively admit to be lesbian. But the thing is interesting, and Dr. Kinlow is a student of history, so correct me if I'm wrong, but one of these women confessed to be a Marxist.
Yes.
If I'm correct, she wouldn't even be able to survive in a Marxist society as a lesbian black woman. Am I right or wrong?
Well, a lot of people didn't survive under old Uncle Joe Stalin, so she probably would be one of them.
So I'm just saying, you know, you're advocating for a social political system that would condemn you. We're not condemning you. We're calling you to newness of life. We're calling you to repent in Christ. But you can't. I mean, you're advocating something that, as Pastor mentioned, is separate from God, and it's doomed. Man cannot come to a utopia through human effort.
Look, you have a lot of black people. They hear that Black Lives Matter, and they think they know what it means, and they really don't. Yeah. Now, you said it, The women who started this are Marxists. Now, people need to understand under Marxism, you cannot have any loyalty greater than the state.
Yep.
So that cuts out God, that cuts out your Bibles, that cuts out everything. And so people need to know that, because if we think we're going to resolve a real racism problem with that, it's not going to work. Things can only get worse. When you take God out of the equation, things are only going to get worse. And so, you know, that's where I am on that.
And the depravity of man will always come up with an excuse to exterminate or kill or destroy. If it ain't because you're black, it's because you're an Indian. If it ain't because you're an Indian, it's because you're a Jew. If it ain't because you're a Jew, it's because you are... what is over in Africa? The Watusi is killing the pygmies. Yeah. You know, man's unredeemed nature will come up with an excuse to justify killing an image bearer of God. And so, you know, I think you one mentioned that. You talked about the pygmies in Africa are almost extinct because one tribe is killing them and using them for what? Worship or something crazy?
Well, most people don't know that the pygmies are, you know, genocide is being practiced on them by many of the surrounding tribes. And, you know, they're almost about ready to go into extinction. But it's amazing because they're all the same color. One is just short and one is taller, and they look down upon them for that reason, so.
I think it plays into this. Yeah, I mean, you have how many children?
Five.
You have five.
I have a child. I have a daughter.
You have one daughter, and you know, Jared has four children. I should know that. And then I have six children, and so I mean, him and I have talked about, you know, how do we our kids, you know, they're seeing this too, and they're asking questions, and his kids are a little bit older than mine. And I mean, Jared, just speak to, I mean, how have you, has that been a struggle for you? How have you?
Well, it's been a good opportunity, I think, again, to kind of reset and think through these issues and how do we look at these things? Are we getting, number one, we do have to filter the messaging we're getting from the media. We have to slow down and make sure that facts are established and like we're people of truth as Christians, yes. And that means that we do have to sometimes slowly, although be it, it's not a satisfactory process of time, sometimes things work slowly, and that's hard for us, but again, that's even what the Lord uses to refine us even on the spiritual side. But no, I mean, whenever something like this happens, I think as parents, we should, I think the tendency is to try to protect our kids from the ugliness, because it is ugly. But yet we do miss opportunities to show them that, you know, I've always said that the news is just one apologetic after the other for the truthfulness of the scriptures, the depravity of man, and what God says is true about us. And so our conversations have been interesting. We've had some deep ones. And even a question I want to pose to the guys here in a little bit about a question my son asked me, and I don't know the answer to it, but no, I've been thankful for the opportunities, but also just grieved at the end of the day, just seeing what man will do. And the whole fact of the image of God, is it does show it is a hatred toward God, because man is the next closest thing, the image bearer of God, and we will find excuses to hate because we hate God by nature. So,
yeah. So with kids, how would you guys encourage us, encourage your body, encourage our body? You know, what conversations do we need to have? Do we need to proactively have with our children about this whole issue of race and racism? And it's a real thing, right? And so what conversations would you guys encourage us, living in the light of what's going on, to have with our kids or with our grandkids?
In all transparency, and Pastor can probably speak to it greater than I can, you know, many who live in the black community, and I would say probably what you would consider our upper middle class, you know, they believe there's a thing such as called white flight. So blacks move into a neighborhood and white folks move out because they feel that blacks are moving in. That's what black people think. So I think that to address those type of conversations is that we have to be honest with our children about the status and state of the heart of men. And then I think that we have to don't live in a bubble. Have, you know, I think it was, what is his name? Well, there was a pastor I listened to, and he said, you need to have people who don't think like you. Mm-hmm. And so, and that goes to say that we need to have people who don't look like us. So, like, when I'm out in the public, I try to befriend everybody. I was up in Aurora, Ohio the other day, and this might be stereotypical of me, but I've always been under the impression people from India are a little bit standoffish, kind of like the Hispanic population. They don't really know you, they kind of... And I was in New York City 2 years ago, and we went through a predominantly all Indian community in New York. And I noticed when we walked through, no one made eye contact with us. No one spoke to us. I think one lady walked out of a bakery and she nodded her head and smiled. And that was it. And I was like, that's weird.
Where was this at?
In New York City. Oh. And I told my wife, I said, that's the first time in my life I felt uncomfortable around people that were complexion of mine. Like, it was weird. But I was in Aurora, Ohio, knocking doors for my job, and I met a lady who was from India. And I was just trying to sell her our product, and she asked me if I want something to drink. And I usually decline drinks because I don't, you know, I'm like, I'm weird. I'm like, I don't know where it came from. But this woman.
That's not weird.
But this woman insisted that she give me a bottle of something to drink. And she said, you want a soda? And I said, well, no. I said, I don't want to drink soda because it's sugar and I'm out here in the heat. So she said, she was insistent. I'll take a bottle of water. This woman comes back to the door with two bottles of water and two cans of soda. And I'm like, what kind of hospitality? I'm like, no, my what I think the Indian people, how they interact is not a blank statement. They're different, just like we're different. So, you know, have friends and people that don't look like you that you fellowship with. You know, you all know Pastor Mike Waters. You know, I'd go over to his house. And like the other day, I went over there and nobody was home. And they was like, you should have just came in. I'm like, I ain't just walking up in your house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and then his wife was like, I understand why he would just walk up here. But we go over there and they receive us as though we are family. And I tell people, Pastor Mike's one of them men that he never meets a stranger. And they say that about me. But people are people. And, you know, and here I am, this lady trying to give me something to drink. And I'm refusing because of some foolishness in my own head. You know, and then I go to the next door. It's another Indian guy. He buys from me. He gives me something. Some of the sweetest, nicest people. And so we have to extend grace and not always think the worst of people. When my daughter came to me, I had to write it out because my daughter came to me about Black Lives Matter and what was going on. She actually said, Daddy, why do they hate us? I said, well, it's a universal hatred. I said, well, you know, yeah, your brown skin may offend some people, but the fact that you love God, there are people that hate you for that. And so I took her to Acts 17. I said, look, from one man, God has made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth and marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. So it's no accident that we live at such a time as this. But what are we going to say and do when these things occur? And then I went on to say, I told my daughter, as I just stated to you guys, we need to build relationships with a variety of different people. When we get to heaven, I told my daughter, here's what the scripture says, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, and every ethnic group will be represented as described in Revelation 7:9. And it talks about we'll be singing to the glory of the Lamb. And I'm saying, you know, this is a heart issue of man. The heart is wicked. The Bible says that the heart of man is wicked. No one knows what it's capable of doing but God. And honestly, the same folks that's mad at you over racism and slavery will break into his house and steal all his stuff and won't bat an eye. Oh, well, that's Dr. Kendall. He live in a nice house. He don't. He can afford. Well, he got insurance. He can afford to buy a new car because I stole
but
his.
But you do know.
I know.
You shouldn't come to my house, don't you?
Yeah. I ain't talking about me.
So you do know that's a no-no.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble. You break up with dad. Not just him, his daughter. But, I mean, we need to just to address Jared's comment. You know, have relationships with people so that it's not abnormal. And I'm going to say this, and I'll be quiet. In many African Americans, some of us are comfortable integrating into a predominantly different ethnic group. Like me, that was the first time I ever, when I was in New York, that was the first time I'd ever felt weird being the only black guy, but they were Indian, I'm of African American descent. But I've never been uncomfortable in a predominantly white environment because I'm used to it. But how often do you find yourself as the only Caucasian guy in an all black environment? And how do your kids see you respond to that? And I think Pastor can speak to this. Well, he already spoke to it. He said when, I'm gonna probably word it a little differently, but when you're squeezed, whatever's in you is what comes out. I think you word it a little different. So when your kids see you in a predominantly Hispanic community, do they see you grabbing, clenching your pearls? Like somebody gonna pick your pocket, or are you just walking through as though people are people?
Mm-hmm. Look, several things. Let me just put a point to what you just said. You know, I don't think a lot of white people understand this, that we go in and out of your culture every day. Every day. So it's not a problem.
I work in Hudson, Ohio.
And I'm not, it's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, many white people, they're not in and out of our culture. You know, I can talk Ebonics with the best of them, you know, and I know I have a country hick to my voice, but you know, I can sit down and have a conversation with anyone. So, you know, getting comfortable with one another. And understand, I can tell you, we're all the same. I mean, so we're all married here. Same stuff, man. Same stuff. I can tell you right now, you know, I can tell you right now, man, you know, when your wife want to, she can... Is this going to be edited? Hey, man. They can put it on you, man. They can put it on you, man. You want to go take a walk someplace. So it's the same stuff, man. We're dealing with the same stuff raising our kids. Yep. Same stuff. I guarantee you, same things you guys are dealing with passing your congregation, same stuff. And so people need to understand that. Don't assume the worst of anybody. Let me give you a story. We were really struggling to get this church built. And it looks like everything was coming against us. You know, the banks turned us down, this, that, the other. And so I had met a white gentleman maybe 3 or 4 years before we started to build. And he went to this brother's church. And so he said, Pastor Kinlow, this is so-and-so. And so when the guy shook my hand, he shook my hand like that. And so my immediate response was, this guy's racist. He doesn't like black people. That was my response. And I may have shared that with someone. Anyways, man, we were really struggling to get this church built. And some things just didn't turn out right. We had already started building out of funds. And the very gentleman I thought was a racist, I hadn't seen since then. He goes to his elder board. This is a large church with a big budget. He goes to his elder board, said, we're spending all this money in the Philippines and this and that. He said, I can tell you, guy. He said, there's a good black church, Bible teaching church in Canton. And he said, you guys ought to be ashamed of yourself. Help those people. But it was the guy. My first thing was, man, this dude don't like black people. So that was false. So don't always assume the worst out of anyone. We need to teach our children that all of these things are a result of sin. At the end of the day, we all come from one blood, Adam. I think we need to teach them the overwhelming majority of policemen are good. They come out here and sit on the lot all the time. And I go out and joke with them and say, you know, donut break, you know, or something like that. And they just laugh. But anyways, the police...
Is it true?
Huh? No. But listen, the policemen that patrol this area, I talked to them. They're all white policemen. And so they said, you know what? He said... you know, there's been some break-ins around here. They were vandalizing churches. And so the policemen, they're all white that patrol this area. They specifically come to this church several times a day. Or they'll come out here and sit so people will see. And they you know, they said, you know, Reverend Kendall, you know, we're watching out for you. I didn't ask them. White police officers. So don't assume all police officers are bad because the majority, they are not. But I want to say this. We do have to teach our young black men the best way to avoid a George Floyd incident is to stay out of trouble, because I'm not saying this one did, but many of these events have escalated out of your little bit of trouble. And you get a bad policeman and you respond incorrectly and it's on. And so, you know, the best way to avoid this is stay out of trouble.
Excuse me. And that's why I said sin is like dynamite.
Nitroglycerin.
There you go. You don't know what's going to happen because you could have the best of intentions. It could be a complete misunderstanding, but this police officer arrived who may be a jerk, and you are now responding in a sinful manner, and now he's escalating, you're escalating, and chances are he bears the sword not in vain. You're going to lose that fight.
Well, I mean, I think it's important because, I mean, a lot of most police officers, you said, are good, but just like we're sinful, they're sinful. You know what I mean?
And the same thing goes for a good cop with the best intentions, you being a knucklehead, not doing what you need to do and giving him the proper due. And I'm gonna be honest with you, Pastor. America is spoiled. Go to Germany and talk back to a police officer and see what you get. They got a repeater stick. He hits you one time and they tell you decide to hit a couple times. You know what I'm saying? Go to China and talk back. You see what got them. They got ran over with tanks. We're spoiled in the sense that we think our police are bad. Go somewhere else in the world and see. And I'm not trying to defend those who have erred sinfully. But I'm saying, like, when you look at the world stage and how the police interact in other countries, like, you ain't suing a German officer because he ran you over with his car. It ain't going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But a cop here hit you with the car unjustifiably, he going to jail. But you go to Germany or China. But go ahead.
I want to stress this, and I want to stress this to African-American people. When you're stopped by a police officer, you have to be respectful. I'm just telling the truth. You know, you come up with a chip on your shoulder, you might run into the bad cop that day. So, but the best way is to, you know, stay involved, stay away from criminal acts. I tell young black men, you know, you need to understand that there are a few bad cops out there. And you may run into one. And so you must be as compliant as possible because you want to live to see another day. You have to say it. I mean, it is true that many parents have to have that conversation with black young men when they leave home that, you know, listen.
And there's a history to that.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like I just woke up yesterday and said, hey, son, we're talking about the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Yeah. So you got to keep in mind, you have generations of people who have had a hostile relationship with the police. Now, all of a sudden, we live in an era where the police don't have the ability just to beat you without any type of repercussion. But yet you still have families saying to their children, you still need to operate in such a manner because of previous behavior, because they don't trust them. I mean, and I hate to say this, but I know people who have Caucasians that they would consider their best friend and will turn around and say in private, you know, you can't trust all white folks. You know what I mean? But they'll say, you know, Jared, I can call Jared up and Jared will give me $1,000, no question asked, but you know, you still can't trust. And I'm saying that's because of previous experiences.
I think we do need to say that it is still happening too many times.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's something going on out here with black men getting stopped. I mean, there's something. Yeah.
It could be satanic.
Yeah, it's something going on. So, you know, when you're pulled over,
cooperate.
Just cooperate. Yes, sir. No, sir. Whatever they ask, give it to them. You know, don't start out by being belligerent and because, you know, why go there? Why go there? So, you know, you want to live to see another day.
Well, thanks again. Lots to talk about, right? Lots to talk about, lots to pray about. And thanks again for watching episode 2, and hope you join us again next week for the final episode.
This is Pastor David Kinlow. For more information about the Word of God Community Church, you can call us at 330-454-7313, or you can visit us online, www.wogcchurch. It's really wogcchurch.org. Thank you.
To learn more about the Word of God Community Church, you can find us on YouTube at WOGC space Church and on Facebook at WOGC Church. All are welcome. Please feel free to come and worship with us and fellowship with us and grow in Christ. Amen.